Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Trent Willis. I'm the ILWU Local 10 business agent. And for those of you who don't know, the ILWU stands for the International Longshoremen and Warehousemen's Union. I have to pause for a second and let you know that that in this type of forum, I don't really consider myself a public speaker. I'm more of a rah-rah rally type guy, so I'm going to try to tone it down a little bit tonight since we're in these small confines. I just want to thank everyone involved here, and I'm very proud to be standing up here talking to you today about this issue. Me personally, sometimes when I'm talking about this issue, I get very emotional. I don't have much experience as far as the military is concerned. I've never been in the military, although I have a father who was honorably discharged from the Marines, and fortunately he was discharged before the Vietnam War. I have an uncle who actually went to Vietnam, and he was injured and sent back to us. Almost had his hand blown off, and basically, you know, didn't get anything for it. I mean, he went over there and he fought for this country, and he came back and he was unable to get a job. Along with a lot of the other Vietnam vets, he was unable to receive services from this government, and it's almost it's not almost, it's a slap in the face, and it's a very hard slap in the face for someone to go across the country or across the sea and risk their life and come back and you can't even get a job. That's absolutely ridiculous. So I'm very adamant against this war, and I'm proud to say that the local that I'm from, Local 10 in San Francisco, we passed just about a unanimous resolution to oppose the war. Like my one of my predecessors said here, we had one person that spoke against the war. So I'm very proud that we passed that resolution, and I'm proud to be here in front of you today to talk about it. And basically, I'm here for two reasons. The first is because it is a fact that the labor and social movement are one and the same. And the second is this a fact that this so-called war on terrorism is a war to oppress the middle class and profit big business. You know, in the 30s and 40s, there were many hard-fought battles waged against the employer and the government tandem, I like to call it, because the government and the employers are often on the same team when it comes to dealing with unions and dealing with social organizations. The most recent battle that I experienced with the employer and the government were the recent contract negotiations between the ILWU and the PMA. Okay. It was clear, absolutely crystal clear, from those negotiations that this administration intends to intervene and to railroad any type of union activity, any type of social activist activity, anything that gets in the way of their so-called agenda. And excuse me if I pause every once in a while. I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. But in the 30s and 40s, like I said, there were many hard-fought battles waged against the employer and government tandem. Many activists and unionists lost their lives fighting racism, union busting, and unnecessary wars like this one. Back in those days, the anti-labor government used the war on communism to launch attacks against the social and labor organizations. The government spread propaganda in order to cause mass hysteria, while at the same time secretly pushing an anti-labor agenda. Today we find ourselves catapulted right back into those days. Okay. Yet again, another anti-labor, pro-big business administration, one which is attempting to use the same tactic, only this time They're saying it's in the name of terrorism instead of communism. The Bush administration wishes to erode our civil liberties, our right to organize, strike, and protest against injustice, while at the same time oppress people in third world countries which possess valuable resources for the United States, like oil. You know, brothers and sisters, it's clear that, you know, as we gather here today, that this is by no means a national crisis. This is a global crisis. And this is a class struggle. Okay? This is a war against the poor and the working class unlike any other we have ever seen. Look at Venezuela, China, the Cuban Five, the Charleston Five, the United and Northwest Airline workers, the West Coast Dockers, the Liverpool Dockers, the Australian Dockers, the Palestinian people, the workers in Brazil. The list goes on and on. It goes on. I would be up here all night if I read off the list of the many struggles going on around the world right now, the many class struggles. And that's the key word, class struggles. Okay. A concerted effort is being put forth by the Bush administration to do its part to aid big business around the world and to further erode all we have fought for since the 30s. I mean, this is going on right now. The labor movement and the social movement, we've been fighting for years and years to gain what little we have now. And we still have a lot more to fight for. And the Bush administration is trying to catapult us right back to where we started from. And we cannot, and I repeat, we cannot afford to go back down that road. We have to fight with everything we have before we go back down that road. Now, before it was Cuba, and it was Vietnam. Now it's Iraq, and it's North Korea. The Bush administration is accusing the leaders of these countries of being dictators who possess weapons of mass destruction. Right? Bush says these countries pose a threat to our national security and that we must wage war in order to stop them. Well, I got a message for you, Mr. Bush. Me and the people I know think the same about you. We feel that Bush is a dictator. That's right. And if he's not a dictator, then I have some questions for him. What do you call intervening in the recent contract negotiations between the ILWU and the PMA in favor of the employer? Okay. What do you call throwing five longshore workers in jail for exercising their right to strike in South Carolina? What do you call threatening to send the armed forces to take civilian jobs if they choose to strike? Okay. What do you call demanding a country to disarm so-called weapons of mass destruction when you sit on collectively the largest arsenal of weapons of mass destruction in the entire world? What do you call that? And what do you call spreading hysteria to justify attacking Iraq when these weapons you state have not been discovered? What do you call throwing five Cuban nationalists in jail for warning the Cuban government of a terrorist attack being planned by a Cuban-American anti-Castro organization? Right. And Mr. Bush, finally, what do you call stealing an election? Right. I know what I call it. I call it dictatorship. So before you accuse somebody of dictatorship, I think you should take a look in the mirror. Didn't Michael Jackson come out with that song, The Man in the Mirror? I think if Bush took a look in the mirror, he would see a dictator. So, Mr. Bush, the the message is simple, okay? We will not sit by idle while you blast us back into the McCarthy era. We plan to demonstrate, we plan to march, we plan to chant, and we plan to fight you with everything we got until we, till you concede to righteousness. See, the thing is, a speaker before me made a comment and alluded to having the courage to stand up in situations like this and times like this. And with that said, I want to take a minute to acknowledge Representative Barbara Lee. I think she deserves a round of applause. She was the only representative in Congress that stood up right after 9/11 and said that we should not give Bush the power to go to any country and wage war. Not in the name of terrorism, not in the name of oil, not in the name of any right-wing political interests that he would like to do, okay? And with that said, I'm going to wrap it up because I'm running out of things to say. But I want to wrap it up, and I just want to say power to unions, power to the struggle, and most of all, power to the people. Thank you for inviting me here.